Roisin Murphy and Murphy's Law. 17 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. Some sad news reaching us over the weekend. My colleague Mark Dazzani reported he heard that the journalist Patrick Middleton passed away on Wednesday, the 11th of March. Mark says he was a prolific chronicler of expat life on the Riviera through his weekly phone-in show on Riviera Radio, which I used to produce sometimes. In the 1980s and 90s, he was a co-founder of the Riviera Reporter magazine. His last journalism work was for Riviera Live TV. He was a good friend, especially in his later years. Patrick suffered from dementia and spent his final years in a local care home. Mark Dazzani did an awful lot for Patrick over the years, including very recently, as did Linda Joyce, who you may remember was a member of our staff in the 1980s and 1990s. Lots of tributes coming in for Patrick. First of all, here he is talking to Mark a couple of years ago about the problems that governments are facing with older populations.
Well, I don't think that anybody is actually taking this subject as seriously as it should be taken, because it's enormously important. We've got a situation with a growing elderly population. Many of these elderly people have got problems because they are growing older and they've got other problems of health and so on, and therefore they do need help. And I think we've got to make sure that help is available to them. At the moment, I think what we need here is some kind of, you say chronicler, we need some kind of chronicler who's going to take seriously chronicling the needs and necessities of older people. And I think that would be enormously important, because at the moment it's still the case that there's quite a lot of material in this area that is not really properly systematically kept in the public eye. And I think it should.
My former colleague Tom Anderson wrote, many of us who worked with him had our moments with Patrick, but life would never have been the same without the bombastic old sod, meant in the nicest way possible. Nancy Heslin from the Riviera Reporter, he died the day before his birthday. He never was one to celebrate, so more than a decade together as a team with Mike Mead. It will take us some time to process this one. Andrew Asprey, another former Riviera Radio member. RIP Patrick, I echo Tom's sentiments exactly. He was a true Rivieran and will always be remembered. Glad you kept in touch with him. Mark. Vicky McCreary, he used to be our production manager. I can remember him swearing at the coffee machine and kicking it because it never worked for him. Hilary Spronken, who used to read the news. I still remember my first meeting with him. I'd only been living here for about a week before I knew I was on his show, and thanks to him met many of the people who have become my closest friends here. R.I.P. Patrick. Our Sarah Lysett, who was also here when Patrick was on the staff. R.I.P. Patrick, what a legend, taught me so much, forever grateful. I will continue the two-finger salutes from behind the glass at Rob Harrison. Thank you, Sarah. Very nice. And Andrew Dickens, who was also a member of the Riviera Radio staff before he flew back to New Zealand to start a new life there. Saw him last 10 years ago. He'd blagged a trip to New Zealand. He appeared to both love and loathe the country. Typical. I used to panel his talk show. He'd wind you right up and then smile the cheekiest smile. I liked him very much. Yeah, he was chalk and cheese. A lot of people didn't like Patrick, but a lot of people, myself included, really did like him. So, sad loss, but probably he's in the right place now. Moving on, and a colleague, well, not a colleague, but somebody I know in the medical profession, sent me this rather disturbing email from a top French doctor. This was circulated internally to staff members and must remain anonymous. Our Italian colleagues, I'm translating this literally, so it might not make total sense. Our Italian colleagues are confronted with the horror of sorting out every hour between those we're going to try and save and those we're going to accompany to death. Outside of Italy today, it's France in 10 days' time. Any delay or insufficiency in containment decisions will be paid in cash. The curfew decision made by Christine Estrosi is a courageous and necessary decision. The messages on containment are not clear. We stay at home unless we can't work from home. This type of message causes confusion in people's minds. The real message is we stay at home full stop. Can I go and see my mother who lives 300 metres from my house? The answer is unfortunately no. If you carry the virus without knowing it, seeing your mother, even without kissing her, can condemn her to death. If you love your mum, don't go and see her, call her. The initial mistake, coronavirus, is the Chinese flu that kills elderly people. This doctor writes, I must admit I believe this idea myself, but it's totally false. A simple figure to be remembered by those who believe themselves to be invulnerable. More than half of the people dying of suffocation and were put in emergency intensive care are less than 50 years old and were not fragile people. to managers of small and large companies expressing their fear of the collapse of the economy. We, the medical experts, tell them we understand your fears, but this is not the priority. The economy will be restored by the survivors after this crisis, as those who survived the Second World War are effectively doing now. And a couple of messages of hope to conclude the message. The commitment of healthcare teams. I've been working in hospitals in France for over 30 years and have never doubted the commitment of the nursing staff. You cannot imagine the energy, the courage, the inventiveness in the face of the lack of equipment and the solidarity of nursing assistants and nurses and nursing staff. I'm even more admiring than usual, he says. The solidarity of our colleagues in liberal medicine is also present, and it will allow us, I hope, to last. The commitment of research teams, researchers in the labs are forcing ahead to develop more effective tests and to develop treatments and vaccines. And in the hospital team where I am, two medical researchers and their teams are involved full-time in the clinical trials that will be offered to patients. As I say, the best we can tell you is to stay safe, wash your hands, limit social contact, and don't go out unless absolutely necessary. Time for this morning's comedy. Here is a bit of Kenny Everett's with Billy Connolly.
Gladys?
Yes, Elsie?
I hope you don't mind my mentioning it.
What is it, dear?
Well, it's a little bit delicate, you see.
Feel free, we're friends after all.
Well, it's a personal problem of yours.
Mine?
Yes, it is. How can I put? It's rather physical and, quite frankly, it's socially unacceptable.
Oh, I see. You're talking about my underarm problem, aren't you? I've tried everything, but it's such a worry.
No, no, darling, that's not it.
My breath. You mean?
Strange as it may seem, no.
Well, what can it be? Oh, you don't mean my unfortunate little noises, do you? I can't help it. They keep slipping out.
No, it's not your dentures, dear.
What could it be?
Well, it's your facial hair, Gladys.
You've noticed, have you? I thought the powder was covering it up.
I can assure you it isn't, dear.
Thank you very much for the hint, Elsie, but why are we on the subject? You're not exactly lacking in the facial hair department yourself.
Well, I'm a man, Gladys.
Oh, yes, that's right.
More tea, darling?
Thank you.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Still breathing, are we?
Still breathing, still battling on.
Yeah, how was the weekend?
Being at home with a five-year-old and a three-year-old is not a great deal of fun when you're cooped up, but clearly people have much greater issues than that, so we're thankful that we're able to go in our garden and just try to take it down a notch or two.
You've been edging the borders?
Edging the borders? No, not exactly.
No?
But it was freezing cold Saturday, but Sunday was a little bit nicer, so if it warms up, things will get perhaps a little bit easier in the UK.
You didn't go to West Wissering Beach then?
I certainly didn't. Mrs. Potts is very strong on where we can and can't go, believe me. So I think the advice to most people is to stay at home as much as you can, and we're certainly adhering to that.
Yes, I don't think a lot of people were listening, though, by the looks of it.
No, people enjoying the beaches across Europe, but the reality is that the price they pay could be significant for that day of enjoyment.
And you were saying that even the Waitrose in Cobham has been a victim of panic buying as people sort of fill up their chest freezers.
You can't buy anything in Waitrose. You can't buy meat, you can't buy fish, you can't buy fruit, vegetables, bread, milk, pasta. I mean, there's something, toilet paper, I mean, forget that. I mean, that is the holy grail in Cobham at the moment. So there's, panic buying is pretty much full on here.
Well, I'm happy to say that it all seems to have calmed down here. We did have some panic buying last week before the government placed us all in lockdown, but now the supermarkets are staggering people going in. So I had to wait outside the supermarket for 20 minutes and stand at least 2 metres away from the person in front of me and behind me. But when I got in, all the shelves were full.
Very nice. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I hope that continues to be or becomes the case here in the UK, because listening to the Prime Minister over the course of the weekend, he spent a lot of time, I know, with the supermarket bosses, saying that supply chain still remains strong. As long as we continue to shop in our normal pattern, all should be well from that perspective.
OK, here's a question from Michael. Are you ready?
Please.
Are the Chinese buying up low-priced stocks and shares in this crisis?
There's very little evidence of that coming through. I mean, last week was another Weaker destructive selling and violent volatility in global financial markets. Stocks fell to multi-year low. Oil prices continue to tumble. Bond yields were pushed lower. So there's very little sign that there's bias in any real strength shining through, particularly coming through from the likes of China. So I think we can put that alongside the other conspiracy theories that have been put out there.
He also says he's heard the Chinese economy is still growing in the crisis. If so, that's strange, isn't it?
Well, I think China's still going to go through a very difficult time, and the Chinese economy, we think, is likely to have contracted by 8% in the first quarter. Activity ground to a halt in China if you look at the survey data. So there's very little sign of that coming through. We've reduced our growth forecast quite dramatically for China for the full year. So still talking about, if memory serves me correctly, somewhere around about 3.2% or somewhere around that sort of figure. But that's probably half of what we saw compared to the 6.1% that we saw during the course of 2019, which, remember, was the lowest since the early 1990s. So the Chinese economy has been suffering. The positive news, I suppose, is that they're starting to reduce some of the restrictions in China. So the number of organic new cases is zero in China. So the good news for the rest of the world is containment can work, and perhaps we can take some joy from that. And actually, you start to see it in Italy, strangely enough. On the positive side, I mean, we know Italy has actually surpassed their deaths compared to China. But in the past 24 hours, Italy has announced an increase in the infection rate of 9%. That's the lowest that we've seen since this outbreak began. So perhaps we can all take joy in that. And markets, that's the key thing that markets are looking for. They're looking for the peak of this pandemic. We start to get evidence when that's likely to be. That will calm market nerves quite considerably.
Yeah, just going back to the Chinese question. I mean, we know how industrious and shrewd the Chinese business world is. So you wouldn't sort of bet against them starting to snap up a lot of stocks in large conglomerates in the West when and if they think it's the right time to move.
Yeah, there's an element of that, I suppose, and investors are thinking about that as well. Maybe we'll start to see a pickup in M&A activity across the board, particularly as valuations are very cheap, and we've seen movement in currencies that can also encourage that process to take place. But for many companies, it's about business stabilization as opposed to trying to take advantage, building war chests as and when required, paying their staff, of course, is incredibly important, making sure their business continuity plans are in place as opposed to thinking, expanding or taking advantage of some of the factors we've been seeing in markets.
Okay, talking about the markets, S&P futures down heftily again this morning, and a lot of analysts saying that so the markets won't turn until there is some conclusive evidence that the pandemic's being brought under control.
Yeah, I think that's right. US equities underperformed during the course of last week, had their worst week since the financial crisis. The reality of the crisis truly began impacting the domestic economy. S&P 500 fell to its lowest level in 3 years, closed down 15% last week, the biggest decline, as I say, in a decade. Now 32.1% below its all-time high that was achieved just back on February the 19th. How quickly the world has changed since then. In Europe, Stoxx 600 rallied actually at the end of last week. It was down 2.1% over the course of the trading week, still down 32.5% from its 52-week high. But as you quite rightly say, big falls in Asia. We've seen the Indian stock market down 12% overnight as they move towards lockdown. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 4.5%. We are looking at big falls on the European bourses. We're minutes away from the open. Currently calling the FTSE down 379 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 752 points. CAC 40 in Paris down 335 points.
Would there be any sense in actually closing markets down for a few weeks?
I don't think so. There's some debate around that taking place, and there have been some measures. I think the London Stock Exchange announcing that companies do not have to make their interim statements, which is something that markets, of course, rely on. So that flow of information won't be there. But you still believe transparency around markets is an important process that takes place, and we're not at that stage where we have to do that. Now, stock markets, of course, were closed after 9/11. That was to do with infrastructure problems as opposed to trying to halt some element of sentiment in markets. So while I think markets are still operating in an orderly fashion, which you could argue they have, although we have been seeing very, very big falls, but technically operating in relatively good order, there's no need to stop markets at this stage.
And the other thing is that we've seen repeated measures taken by governments and central banks, but the message is it's not enough yet, that they have to open the taps as wide as they possibly can and don't turn them off.
Well, central banks, governments have reacted aggressively to support economies and stabilise markets. Central banks have slashed interest rates to historically low levels. They've restarted quantitative easing programmes and begun injecting massive amounts of liquidity into the system. Governments have instigated substantial fiscal policies to try to reduce the risk of that medical crisis turning into a financial one, have long-lasting implications for global growth prospects. I suppose policymakers learned a number of lessons during the 2008 financial crisis. They included the importance of acting early and in size. I think as we've seen by the speed and the scale of the policy response to COVID-19, officials are hoping not to repeat those past mistakes. We should remember, of course, these measures will not solve the immediate medical concerns, resulting disruption, but they will support long-term demand. Perhaps more importantly, they will provide much-needed liquidity for companies and for financial markets.
So what's the future of free market economics now then?
Well, maybe we'll return to that at some point. I mean, growth forecasts have been coming down quite dramatically. Most notably, we're now talking about a contraction for the full year in the US economy of 0.6%. For Europe, we think the Eurozone will contract by 2.4% during the course of this year. UK, we think the economy will shrink by 1.1%. To give you the global growth numbers, we expect growth just 0.4% this year now. That compares to 3.2% in 2019. Economists, to remind you, consider below 2% a global recession. In terms of the medium-term output, well, I think the impact we still believe will be material. It will be sharp, but we still believe it will be temporary. We think the global economy will be able to overcome this, and we've watched the medical data very carefully indeed, but still projecting a bounce back in 2021, where we've got growth currently projected at 3.9%. So let's hope that turns out to be the case.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar has recovered in the last couple of trading sessions, but still coming in a pretty lowly 1.17. Euro dollar 1.07, going to get €1.08 for your British pound this morning.
Okay, maybe talk to you tomorrow, maybe not.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Hank Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leister has the top stories across the Riviera.
The Mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, has announced five new measures to be introduced in Nice in order to deal with the coronavirus epidemic. They include a reduced tram and bus service from Wednesday the 25th of March. A regular bus service will be maintained to and from the city's hospitals. However, the 100 bus route Nice to Monaco will not be in service. Due to too many people failing to respect the confinement measures, especially using sporting activities as a reason to go out, the Mayor has warned that should this continue within the next 48 hours, a new order will be issued prohibiting all outdoor sporting activities. Despite the streets remaining mostly deserted, there are still those who refuse to respect the measures in place, as Sunday saw more fines issued in the Alt-Maritime. The promenade remains closed and everybody is reminded to practice a sport individually and not in pairs or in a group. From Wednesday, all public places will be disinfected three times a week, with priority being given to hospitals, nursing homes, pharmacies and shopping centres. 100,000 new surgical masks and 40,000 FFP2s have been ordered to continue providing essential protection to hospital staff, local police and the city's cleaning agents, as well as people in the transport sector. The City Council is also planning to distribute them to all cashiers in large food stores. The final measure announced is that from today, the central kitchen of the City of Nice will supply several associations, including Secours Populaire, amongst others, with food. The move comes to further strengthen the assistance provided for the homeless. The Mayor has proposed two other locations which could offer additional places for the most vulnerable. Latest figures published on Sunday evening have shown that the total number of people tested positive for the coronavirus in the PACA region is 1,316. That's 275 more than the day before. The epidemic has claimed 15 lives in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region, and 85 people are currently in intensive care. In Monaco on Sunday evening, five new cases of the virus were announced, bringing the total to 23 in the principality. In France, a total of 18 cases have been reported so far, with 674 deaths. The Alp Maritime was declared a risk zone on Friday, meaning the virus is freely circulating in the area and it's no longer able to investigate each case. This was followed by a curfew put in place on Saturday from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. in the Alp Maritime, with Monaco introducing the same measure shortly afterwards on Sunday. The Mayor of Nice, Kristin Estrosi, has announced on Twitter that chloroquine treatments would be authorised at Nice Hospital for patients with COVID-19. The anti-malarial drug is presented as the miracle remedy since the tests of Professor Didier Raoult at the Marseille Mediterranean IHU presented the first results of the clinical tests carried out on 24 patients affected by the coronavirus. However, France's Minister of Health, Olivier Véran, explained that he wanted to wait before recommending this well-known treatment. Meanwhile, the mayor of Cannes, David Lisnard, is demanding clarification from the French state on the use of this drug after pointing out that when 2 weeks ago, with some of his fellow mayors, he asked the health authorities about the possibility for hospitals in our region to use chloroquine against COVID-19. They were at the time informed that the protocol was not reliable and was even risky. France's Minister of Education, Jean-Michel Blanquer, has said that the return of students to class on May the 4th is the privileged scenario, but remains dependent on how the epidemic evolves, adding that this is not an announcement because everything will be conditioned on the development of the coronavirus and we are applying what the Ministry of Health tells us. Since Monday, all schools and universities are closed in France to fight against the spread of the virus. Asked whether the school year could be extended and the summer holidays panned, the minister said the goal is not to touch the holidays. France's Minister of Economy, Bruno Le Maire, has called for companies to pay a tax-free bonus of €1,000 to all employees who go to their workplace despite confinement against the coronavirus. The declaration led to the Secretary-General of Force Ouvrière, Yves Verrier, saying that he hoped it wasn't a bonus in exchange for a health risk, adding, "We're not able to do everything necessary to protect the health and safety of employees." Meanwhile, Amazon will stop taking orders deemed lower priority on its French and Italian sites to focus on the products most in demand during this pandemic of coronavirus. The American giant said at the weekend, "We must focus the available capacity on the highest priority items and, as of now, temporarily stop taking orders for certain lower priority products on Amazon.fr and Amazon.it. This only applies to new orders. Those that have already been placed will be honoured." Finally, if you think you have the coronavirus, a new website has been launched to help French people worried about having been infected with the coronavirus to assess their symptoms and to be advised on the procedure to follow. The maladiecoronavirus.fr site, referenced by the Ministry of Health, allows all those who think they are infected to take an anonymous and free test. 24 questions about their symptoms, but also on their medical history and age. In collaboration with medical specialists and the Pasteur Institute, the site then advises you either to simply stay confined to your home, to consult your doctor, or even immediately to call 15. A member of the new brand Digital Alliance Against COVID-19, Dr. Fabrice Denis, said this is not a diagnosis, it's an assessment of the state of health to know where we should be directed, concluding that the goal is to reassure but also to reduce any unnecessary calls to the SAMU, which is saturated.
Beep, 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 yeah. Riviera Radio Travel News.
Very little traffic on the roads, just looking at the webcam at Sant Isidore, and despite the light traffic, there's still one or two people tailgating. Oh, come on, cut it out, honestly. The message is stay at home unless you have a valid reason to go out, to go shopping, for example, or take some brief exercise anywhere around your home, or in case if you have to work. Despite the curfew this morning, I drove all the way from Antibes to Monaco and didn't see a single police officer. I was expecting to have my collar felt frequently, but it hasn't happened yet. But so let you know how I get on over the coming days. Trains and public transport, winding down the service, as Sarah was saying in the news there. Trains, we think about 30% of normal services are operating on the network. And as far as the airport goes, make sure you have a valid permit to travel. And please contact your airline before setting out on your journey.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Olympics. Pressure's growing on the Japanese government to postpone the Summer Olympic Games. Canada and Australia have already said that they won't send teams to Tokyo unless the Games are postponed. But the official line from the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is that no decision has yet been taken. Postponements or cancellation of the Games would result in costs of billions of dollars. But unless the coronavirus is contained, it seems there will be no other option. Football, there are suggestions that English Premier League games could be played while people are still confined to their homes. The chief executive of Southampton, Martin Semmons, said that matches could be shown live on television behind closed doors every day, in what he said would be a sign the country's coming back to normal. In an interview with BBC Radio Solent, Mr. Semmons said the sport had to do what was right and safe for the general public, but conceded there was not widespread agreement on the idea. Here's more football from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello from Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. The Wolverhampton Wanderers captain Connor Cody feels it wouldn't be right to resume the current football season without fans being able to go to matches. The season is suspended until at least the end of April because of the coronavirus outbreak. Well, Wolves have had an excellent campaign so far, top six in the Premier League, also having been in European competition and then the last 16 of the Europa League. So if and when the season resumes, skipper Cody isn't keen on matches being played behind closed doors.
To play football without fans isn't right, if I'm being totally honest with you. It's hard to play in front of, it's hard to do, it's hard to not necessarily motivate yourself, but you get an energy from the crowd that you don't get from anywhere else. So it's really, really tough, and that was tough for us. I'm always there to speak to the lads if they need to ask me a question. They know where to come. They know straight away that they can ask me whatever they want. But also to be that bit of a bridge in terms of if the manager or people at the higher end of the club want to get things to the boys, they know they can come through me as well. So I think it's just important to be open, to be honest, and make sure you're in the middle of things and make sure you're there ready to pass on messages to whoever they have to.
That's the Wolves skipper Connor Cody. The former Manchester United midfielder Marouane Fellaini has confirmed that he has tested positive for coronavirus. In a post on social media, the 32-year-old, who is now at the Chinese club Shandong Luneng, says that he hopes to return to the game as soon as possible. Chinese media reports that Fellaini is in isolation in a hospital which specialises in infectious diseases. The Belgium international moved to China in 2019 after 11 seasons in the English Premier League with Manchester United and with Everton. For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Formula One world champion Lewis Hamilton has reassured fans he's in good health and has undergone a period of self-isolation after meeting earlier this month with the actor Idris Elba, who's contracted the virus. Hamilton said he had no symptoms and it's been 17 days since he came into contact with Mr. Elba and others who've contracted the virus, including Sophie Trudeau, the wife of the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. And in golf, Paul Casey has said that he would support the suspension of the Ryder Cup because of the coronavirus outbreak. The US Masters and the US PGA have already been postponed and a string of tournaments have been cancelled. Casey said the Ryder Cup, which is due to be staged in September, should also now be put off.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
We're looking out to sea yesterday with such a nice day. You'd expect plenty of sailing boats to be out there enjoying the good conditions, but there was not one out there. For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime in the VAR, the general situation of depression 1,011 millibars over Spain and an anticyclone 1,039 millibars over Norway. Winds are easterly, force 3 to 5, picking up to force 6 later. The sea is slight, becoming moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat 1,014 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 3 to 5 easterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northeasterly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 4 to 6. Northeasterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio Weather.
Bit of a change in the weather. Partially cloudy today. Lights to moderate easterly winds. Temperatures 15 degrees. Overnight lows 10 degrees on the coast. 7 degrees inland with partially cloudy skies and occasional showers. Tuesday and Wednesday, sunshine and occasional showers with highs of 13 to 15 degrees. And finally, Nigella Lawson's doing her bits by tweeting unashamedly indulgent recipes to her 2.6 million Twitter followers. The celebrity cook has pledged to answer baking questions from people seeking to make the most of food supplies they have. And there should be no guilt in enjoying comfort food right now, she said. All I can do is eat chocolate at the moment. I'm on 250 grams a night, she admitted, and rising. For me, it's about insisting on pleasure. She accepts that tweeting any recipe of the day feels difficult at the moment, given that people have been unjustifiably stripping the supermarkets. But if you have milk, cream, sugar, corn flour and chocolate, you can make a lovely chocolate pudding, she said, and you won't regret it. As she added, she can't stop pouring brown butter in all over things. Another simple and soothing recipe is Lily's scones. And please don't tweet me about putting the clotted cream under the black treacle, she said.